Hot round! Red 7, red 7, red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what red 7 means.
I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
You don't think that lame-ass play where I run downfield and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch!
Nom, 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 nom.
Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get me the ball.
That's gonna make the difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying.
Welcome into 11 Personnel, episode 110, where we are fresh off an open practice over at the Joe Kraft Football Training Facility. Our first look at Will Levis as QB1 before we share everything we saw at practice. Adam Luckett, we got to thank our good friend Civil Roses.
Just had a very good lunch.
Very good lunch. Tried the Buddy Deluxe. It's got a little bit of pepperoni, sausage, spicy sausage, banana peppers, and ham. The banana peppers really just make it pop.
You know it's good when you're ready to take a nap after eating it. That's how you know it's a good meal. And it definitely hit the spot after being out in the sun and watching some football today.
Well, and they don't have just pizzas. They've got crowd pleasers, like 50 wings that you can add to your party, to your tailgate this season. Or, you know, if you just want to do it big.
Are you getting home from the ball game? You're hungry? Been out in the sun a little bit?
Oh, well, Pac-12 after dark?
Yeah, order a pizza, 7, 8 o'clock, and just settle down there on the couch. Pizza, wings, breadsticks, whatever you want. La Rosa's can deliver it for you. Three locations in Lexington.
Yep, visit larosas.com to order pickup delivery, or you can join them in the dining room. La Rosa's, they are the best, and we appreciate them supporting us throughout this Kentucky football preseason. I'm Nick Roush. He's Adam Luckett. And Luckett, we got a practice today, a morning practice. It was
perfect weather.
Yeah, overcast, a little cool, nice little breeze. And I don't – What popped off for you, Luckett? What was the big?
Number one, I think the best moment of the day was myself and you, Nick Roush. We were over there watching OLDL go at it, and Tony Neely goes over. Got to respect guys that they watch the trench play all day, and so we did spend a good amount of time over there.
Saw some good trash talk.
Really was interested. Because right off the jump, you go out there, and in pre-practice, I saw Darren Kennard at right tackle, Jeremy Flax at right guard, Fortner at center, Horsey at left guard, and then Rosenthal at left tackle. And really in pre-practice, you're just kind of running through like on-air type things and just running through different drills and whatnot. But then as practice progressed, you saw Darren Kennard at right tackle and Rosenthal at left tackle through everything they were doing throughout practice. So really was interested in that, and then when watching them going against some drills against the D-line, I thought I was impressed with how the D-line played, personally. You know, Josh Pascal was Josh Pascal, but both Marquand McCall and then Josiah Hayes at nose, I thought he was really good today. I thought Octavius Oxendine showed some things at boundary tackle.
He looks good.
Yeah, so that was really – that was my number one big takeaway is just I was impressed by the defensive line. They looked better than I thought they would look going into today.
We had a lot of, you know, you have your moments where, you know, your coaches just kind of go nuts and let some F-bombs fly. Stoops undressed one of his assistants during 7-on-7. Unlike anything I've heard before, it was quite the ass-chewing, if you will. But my favorite trash-talking moment was during that offensive line, defensive line period where, you know, Austin Dotson, he loves to mix it up. He loves kind of stirring the pot.
No doubt.
Was taking some shots at the D-line. And then I want to say it was Justin Rogers maybe who was going up against Quentin Wilson and kind of blew him up, but he got him a little high. So, you know, Coach Stu, Anwar Stewart, he was all fired up. And the entire offensive line is just like, oh, you think you can do that? And Horsey goes, where'd you learn that, Coach Stu? What do they do up in Canada? Here in America. And I love the Canadian trash talk. Like, really taking pot shots at Stewart for playing a
Canadian
decade
football
in
league.
CFL. You got bringing up the CFL stuff out on us. So, yeah. But I like the guy in Anwar's former position, too. I didn't even look up the GA's name, but to – make sure that everybody is like they aren't wasting any practice time. For a lot of it, you know, the GA's working with
ones and twos are with the main position coaches.
Yes,
threes and fours, which is mostly kind of true freshmen walk-ons. are with the GAs.
Maybe a few redshirt freshmen thrown in there. But
right.
Like Jamarius Dinkins, Khalil Sanders, which, by the way, those guys, when it's their turn to go in like the team drills, pretty good.
Yeah, we didn't get to see Saunders today. He was banged up, I believe. But Dinkins is just a monster of a man.
Yeah, big old boy.
And so he really stands out. And there was a moment in practice today where they were doing 11-on-11. It's just kind of tap off. It's, you know, hit, don't fall, didn't take nobody to the ground. Dinkins gets in there and slings Lavelle Wright like a rag doll to the ground.
And
Brad White got on him right quick.
I love the coaches, like, because that is a very, I don't want to say rookie mistake, but that is the ultimate, I'm a freshman trying to, like, show something, and then you show a little too much, and then the coaches just jump your ass. Absolutely love it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he's a big old boy, which before we get back into practice, that's a perfect segue into a big old boy that joined the Big Blue Nation on Sunday, a day later than expected.
Tomiwa Durajai, I think it is.
There we go. Yeah. Wow. That was a great Oklahoma pronunciation.
Tomiwa Durajai.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
See, I've had to learn DJ Uwe Agalale, and so that's really helped me with some of these pronunciations. So I think that helped me in learning Tamiwa's name. But, yes, added to – we were supposed to be on Saturday.
Yeah, good
kick
back.
We were waiting on Saturday, and then it popped Sunday afternoon.
I would guess there was video technical difficulties or something. That's usually what it happened.
That's what I think it was. Yeah. The editing process took a little bit longer than expected.
But, nevertheless, they got a lengthy guy from Delaware, which – Not something you normally hear, but, hey, Brad White, he was fishing those waters. He finally got him one.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're starting to see kind of the blueprint, I think, for Ammar Stewart is just they just want length over everything else. And so I think Tamiwa kind of fits in with Jamarius Dinkins and Khalil Saunders, that same type of mold, just tall and long and can hold good weight. And he could get up. I think he's 245 right now, but you could see him getting up to 270, 275 pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think he's a little bit more twitchy than the previous two in this past class. So I would say his ceiling's probably a little higher, but that's kind of the mold they're looking for right now. Three-star development type kids that they can come in, bring along slowly. Now, I do think eventually, like, you're going to have to hit on some –
it's a big fish, yeah.
Yeah, some guys that can come in and help you right away. But here lately, they're going after some more developmental prospects, and the traits they're looking for, I think, are, you know, long, lean,
mm-hmm.
And athletic, and then guys that can hold probably good weight. And I think Saunders, Jamarius Dinkins, and Tamiwa all fit that kind of mold.
Well, and that it brings me back to the defensive line, because we talked to Stewart after Thursday's practice, and, you know, Justin Rogers obviously is going to get asked about quite a bit,
right,
from just, you know, Joe Fan out there, because, I mean, hell, he's as highly as ranked as he was, and he just preached patience, you know, like, hey, this guy, I mean, Marquand McCall was highly ranked too, and you're not really seeing a ton of him until 4 years into the program. Like, it takes these guys a little bit longer, especially the bigger guys who are going to be your kind of run stuffers. Now, you know, Rogers, I think he had like 9 snaps or so last year in 7 games. So, or 9 snaps. He averaged 9 snaps over 7 games he played in.
Yeah.
So, like, he played a decent amount. I think between him and Josiah Hayes, they'll get their own.
It was of note today that Hayes was pretty much getting most of the 2 snaps mm-hmm. behind McCall.
And it also doesn't help that this is a, you know, base 3-4 team.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, ideally you're playing both of those guys at
right.
2 defensive tackles.
Right. Yeah, if you were more a 4 down front, with
yeah.
3 tech and a 1 tech, or a 3 tech and a, you know, a
shade
nose
or
nose or
yeah.
shade nose, yeah, that would make more sense. But, I mean, if you just looked at senior tape, Hayes's might have – I thought it was better than Rogers.
Yeah.
So, but he was like – he was a big prospect too now. He's nobody to – gloss over.
Right. He was a top 200 guy from Mississippi.
So, but I think they're going to be in good hands there at the nose position regardless. The big question mark is just that boundary is when I think Pascal needs to stay healthy.
Yep.
Kind of address this in the LaRosa's defensive line position preview that dropped Tuesday afternoon. So go check that out at KentuckySportsRadio.com if you haven't already.
The new KSR. Which looks really shiny. It also looks way different behind the scenes. So if we're a little slow, we're still figuring this stuff out.
Yeah.
It was
some IT issues going on.
Yeah, it's been a little it's a growing process, but we're getting through it. We're getting through it together. But of all of the site redesigns, this was the first time we had to learn something new. So, whew, man, sometimes it makes me feel like an old man.
Growing pains.
But we're getting through the growing pains. I interrupted you, but as you said during the D-line preview, Pascal needs to stay healthy.
The number one thing is Pascal staying healthy, and then they have to find some pass rush. I mean, Havoc is the name of the game. Some of the numbers through the season last year were pretty ugly. Pretty bad. That's something they have to get fixed this year. Now, boundary tackle is a big position there. That's the spot where Calvin Taylor Jr. gave him 8.5 sacks.
Yeah.
2019, and they just didn't.
Without having to dial up blitzes and stuff.
They didn't have anything from that spot, especially with that nose tackle. That's more of a space eater kind of in their scheme. So they have to figure out something there. So that's a big position to watch, I think, as the season progresses.
No, that definitely. I like what Oxendine gives as well as Aboulé. They're moving some stuff around, and when you get certain pass rush stuff, you can.
I think
change
from
things around
from our seats. I think should probably be cheering for Ox, kind of there to kind of take that over.
Yeah,
redshirt freshman. He's got some more twitchiness, I think, than the other guys.
Yeah, got some
competing
juice
for that battle, and if he's able to take that over, then you're looking at a guy that can you really invest in and build in for the future.
And he wears number 8 on the defensive line.
Yeah, single digits just look better for
it
sure.
It pops so much. Got a great beard. Kentucky kid. His name's Ox, for God's sakes. Octavius Oxendine is a Marvel villain. I know Doc Ock definitely fits that bill, and that's why we go to that. But, man, he can play a big role in the future, and you just hope that he can take that on now, head on now. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many reps you get on, but they did look good on their run. Stop. Now it's different when you got a team run period, and it's just and you don't have Chris Rodriguez, yeah, and you're not tackling all the way down.
Yeah, in the tap off, it's important to notice you're hitting and then you're stopping pretty much. You're not driving anyone to the ground.
Yeah.
So it's all about takeoff, first contact, strike, and then kind of let go. So the defense kind of has the advantage there. So
right,
there's going to be
right
runs that you like. We're sitting there watching the day. Oh, that was probably a 2 yard gain. When really, if they're driving more, it could have been easy 6, 7, 8 yard gain.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
then we heard Liam Cohen after practice.
Yeah.
He didn't get to see Chris Rodriguez in a scrimmage in the spring because obviously running back take a lot of hits. They're
light on him.
They're light on him. But they let him go kind of a little bit in this past scrimmage.
Which I still think was only a couple series or two, but man, that one.
Right.
What was the quote he had?
It's nice to see. Nice to see him run. He's pretty much says that he lives up to the hype, and he's pretty good ball player.
And when I mentioned not seeing Rodriguez today, I mean, they keep it light on him during these practices,
yeah,
as well.
Mm-hmm.
Wandale, he practiced some early, and then towards the end, I don't know if he tweaked anything or if he was just – but he did not finish practice. So when they went two-minute drill, that was one of the – that was the highlight of the practice for me.
Yeah. It opened up an opportunity for Rezaun Lewis. Was running strictly with the ones there in 2 minute towards the end of practice.
I think he had two big catches.
Yeah. Well, big takeaway for me, I think we got the – as of right now, I think I know who the top four receivers are.
Okay.
Wandale Ali, then I think when they went 11 personnel with the ones, Epps was the receiver. So that's three receivers, one running back, one tight end. And then when they went 2 minute, the next guy was Rezaun Lewis. He was wide receiver 4. And then after that, I would say Chauncey Magwood is right there behind them. So I think when you go into the ULM game, those are going to be kind of the five receivers we probably see playing.
Yeah, and I'm curious where DeMarcus Harris fits in this because you see him making plays.
He flashed today, and you see Tay-Tay Crooms has the speed. I think those guys are probably right there in that next kind of area.
Yeah, and I just don't know how they fit in like sub-wise with Epps or whatever because, you know, I feel like I see the other guys flash a little more than Epps, but Epps does make some routine plays look routine. So, like in Crooms' case, Crooms got one really good deep ball, like where he just got loose on a go route and, you know, dropped it right in, big play. But then on another slant, you know, he just got bullied by the corner.
Yeah. Throwing a wrench in all of this is just Jatan McClain, how he's used in the passing game. Isaiah Cummings as a tight end. Really kind of a glorified receiver.
Yeah. C.J. Conrad got hyped on a flag route he caught today.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also, with that catch, there's also the times where they break the huddle and Isaiah's going to the wrong side of the ball, and they're like, Isaiah, what the hell? Right. Yeah. You know, like, so
still learning the position.
Right, right. And I think with all of these.
And on that one, he double guessed himself. He went right.
And then went back. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. that one was pretty funny. Mm-hmm. But you in I think in the case, too, for all of these, especially when we talk about receivers, a lot of it's, okay, all right, that's a nice little play, but they really haven't got the consistency yet. You know, I mean, hell, there was even a couple balls that Josh Ali dropped out there where you're like, Josh, catch the damn thing, you know. And that he missed that to start the two-minute drive, but then they got a bunch of plays together. Lewis makes a couple nice ones, but then he quits running on one route.
Yep.
And then Levis, I mean, it would have been a 60-yard touchdown, and it hit the spot, but – he slowed down and then started back up when it was too late. He was three steps too short.
Yeah, I believe it was on a corner out. But it's kind of just what we kind of expected, too, I think, for the wide receiver position.
Yeah.
We've gotten two open practices, and each of them you go walking away, and you're just like, eh. Like, there's obviously Ali, Rwandell have made plays kind of at this level. Expect them to be guys you can lean on. But after that, it's a lot of, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see. But then how you get the tight ends and then the running backs involved in the pass game. I think that's the real hope for this offense. It's hopefully the lack of wide receiver, I guess, players or guys you can depend on, they can maybe alleviate that at some other positions, which is reasons to get optimistic, I would say,
and when
projecting the offense.
Even more mysteriously, you know, you didn't have Jatom McClain or Smoke Dressed out there today. They were banged up with something. Trayvon Morgan was out. He's been banged up. So, I mean, even with that miss to Lewis, they still Levis moved the ball down the field, got a field goal to end the practice. So that gets us to the big story of the week. Will Levis is your starting quarterback. We made it 15 minutes like it. Made it 15 minutes without talking about Will Levis earning the starting job.
It's a lot of scrimmage podcast anyway.
Yeah, keeping our listeners on their toes a little bit. But it happens Sunday afternoon. All of the things came into place. Like, what was your first reaction when you heard that Levis was going to be QB1?
Surprised a little bit of the timing. It happened pretty fast. I didn't think it would happen that fast. But it was the end result I think we've all kind of expected ever since he was at. Once he was added, that's who I thought was going to be the quarterback. And so that happened that fast surprised me a little bit. But that was really my big takeaway. I wasn't surprised that he's the guy. I was just surprised that it happened that fast.
It was one of those things for me where, just based purely on precedent, the Stoops takes his time, you know, to make these decisions. He lets guys play it out. But in every other case, there's been a scrimmage where he's saying, I want a guy to go out there and take the role. I want somebody to go out there and win it. Well, Levis went out there and won it. He went out there and won it. I think he's looked the part from the get-go, and he certainly developed into a much more accurate thrower than what he kind of was billed as at Penn State. And he's just got some arm talent. You know, like today, I think ball placement was the key phrase, if you will, because he was putting it on him. I mean, if guys – I can remember maybe – there was one in particular where it was just like, all right, that was off. But there weren't a whole lot of passes where it just – like the ball was where it was supposed to be. You know, whether the guy caught it or not is a different story. But he was putting it on people, you know. And I think having that and having a guy who's been there before and a guy who also can move around pretty well around the pocket. I mean, dude looks the part as quarterback, and – I'm actually happy that they went ahead and pulled the trigger, because I think just for the overall team health, it benefits you to know who your quarterback is
right. This
early in the process.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I wrote down today, I just Levis plus ball placement. I just thought he was putting the ball in good spots. We saw back shoulders. We saw him throw guys open. The only real issue is just the short game, like the quick game, the screens and stuff like that. Those balls come off a little hot sometimes.
Yeah.
And they're down by the knees or to the left or the right. And that's what I asked Liam Cohen about after practice. And he was kind of like, yeah, vertical accuracy we kind of like. Ball placement, intermediate, deep is good. But we need to get a little bit, you know, he's got to improve on the short game. pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something he's going to have to work on.
Which it's kind of funny because they're almost like that's the opposite of Bo Allen. Or Bo exactly. Allen, he put the ball doesn't seem to get there as quickly, but he does throw a real catchable ball in that short and intermediate
game. It's when you watch the two quarterbacks back to back, it's just remarkably different how the ball travels from A to B.
Mm-hmm.
For Levis, on some of these dig routes, I mean, it gets on these guys fast.
Yeah, yeah, and it's straight line.
Yes.
I mean, whereas Bo's balls, they float a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
got a little bit more spin on it, and I feel like it takes him a little bit longer just to, you know, like fractions of seconds, but I think it takes him a little bit longer to get out. What I do like, though, is his best ball is probably like a 12-yard out route, which if you're throwing from the right hash to the left sideline, it's got to go a long way.
Yeah.
And he can still get it there. So I at least have hope yeah. that he can develop a little bit more strength
mm-hmm.
to be able to make some of those throws downfield. I know there have been guys like this in the past that have – like Gunnar Hoke was a guy who was accurate close, but he just never developed any sort of arm strength. That could be the case. I don't think it will. I hope that's not. Because I actually thought, you know, aside from that play that started his 2-minute drive when he kind of chucked it up on a blitz into double coverage for a pick, aside from that, I thought he played pretty well.
Yeah, and on that one, I think he just – there was a little misread. There was – he threw it to the inside receiver, and he had the tight end going down the sideline. I think the tight end was open.
And then the outside receiver, like, took him to the – ball or something like that.
Yeah, well, he was throwing to the wrong guy is what I was kind of getting at. I think he just made a misread on the defense, and the ball just went right to the safety.
I mean, it went right to Taj Dotson.
Yeah.
And when you get a pick in 2 minutes, that ends the defense.
As soon as he let it go, everybody knew where it was going to be picked.
Yeah, they did.
But to me, Levis, we talked about that arm talent and just the easy velocity he creates. And it's really going to, I think, allow the offense to attack the middle of the field. I mean, throwing over the middle, there's a lot of offenses now that won't even do it. It's all just RPO and sideline shot, and they're like Tennessee this year. It's not going to be much, if any, over the middle passing. If it is, it's a tight end up the seam. Everything is outside the hash marks. But for Kentucky, they're going to attack the middle of the field. And to do that, it's a lot easier when you have a quarterback that can throw strikes right there across the middle. And through two practices, I've seen multiple throws where Levis has delivered a quick ball that has whipped through the air and got on a receiver fast in the middle of the defense with around, you know, two or three defenders in the area. You know, the middle of the field can be dark and full of terror, but if you've got a quarterback that can get it there
mm-hmm.
Quickly like that, when you have that type of arm talent, it can erase some mistakes. You can make decisions a little bit later. Coverages don't beat you as well as they would maybe another quarterback because they can't react as fast to your ball. And so I think that is probably, I think, the best trade I've seen from him so far is the arm strength he has to attack the middle of the field. And I think obviously he's going to be able to throw it deep, but I think that's going to be the area where Kentucky can really have more consistent success.
Yeah, and that's something we don't see or haven't seen very often. And like you said, it can really open up things for Kentucky in the passing game. And with the Levis decision, though, we had a domino fall. And I think a lot of people were taken aback that as soon as Levis says – or as soon as they say it's Levis, that Joey Gatewood says, I'm out. And I know some people were, why wouldn't you fight and compete? First things first, quarterbacks transfer. They transfer a lot. That's been the name of the game for a long time. A long, long time. Do you remember Jared Lorenzen, Adam Luckett?
I sure do.
How long ago did he play football in Kentucky? Was it 20 years ago?
Yeah, like 2002. 2003 was his senior year. Rich Brooks' first year.
So, like, 2000 was, I think, his first year. Do you remember who was the quarterback in 1999?
Dusty Bonner.
And he threw for what, like 2,000 yards?
More than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he threw for close to 4,000.
And then he lost the job, and then he transferred immediately mm-hmm. to D2, and he was D2 Player of the Year at Valdosta State.
And now he's on the Kentucky pregame show.
Yeah.
Texas Roadhouse pregame show, I think.
Yeah, and that was 20 years ago, okay? Now we have a transfer portal. Kentucky's last three quarterbacks have transferred in. This guy transfers in. He expects to play. He doesn't win the job. He's ready to go elsewhere. It happens.
My take on that is this is just how the game is played right now. You know, obviously, everybody wishes they were Ohio State, where they have four top 100 prospects in their quarterback room. All three of those guys, I think, could probably have the potential to be first-round draft picks in the NFL draft. But then there's also Clemson, where they have one guy they feel really good about, and Clemson's backup is a walk-on right now. The guy who is supposed to back up DJU tore his Achilles in the spring. Alabama's backup to Bryce Young is Paul Bear Bryant's great-great-grandson, who almost came to – like who Kentucky was recruiting for a long time, Paul Tyson.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and he's battling with a true freshman out of Texas. So, like, even at these big schools, this is a thing. Like, quarterbacks just don't stay there. Like, you're not – and so
– if you lose, you leave.
Right. If you lose, you leave is kind of the thing right now. And I just think that's something that we're just going to have to get used to. Like, you have to pick your guy, and you've got to ride him. I think Kentucky's in a better situation now than they were in 2019. But I mean, we're gonna see. Like you just gotta, you know, pick your guy, and that's why recruiting the position is so important. You gotta get guys you have faith in, and I think they have two. They have faith in right now.
And when they recruited Joey Gatewood, they were running a different offense, completely different style of football.
That's true.
I mean, you have to think of it that way. And
I just don't think you can just go into a year and be like, oh, what if a quarterback gets hurt? Well, if anybody's quarterback gets hurt their season, it's not, you know, it's not, you're probably not going to reach your ceiling.
Right, right. And I also think, too, that, let's be honest, we had, 2019 was freak. You had two quarterbacks get injured. And the guy that would have been your third guy, you gave him a scholarship because you thought his offensive tackle was coming to Kentucky. And that was Walker Wood and Jedrick Wills.
And then you missed out the two true freshmen you had, Nick Scalzo and Amani Gilmore, were project recruits.
Yeah.
They were just – you took a gamble on them, hoping one of them would work.
And I think
it to this point.
At least the gamble they've taken with Kaya Sharon is going to end up being a good one. I mean, he throws some nice passes out there. He's got some arm strength.
We'll see.
And, you know, if there's a disaster, I think that – and you have – if you have both him and Bo Allen go down, obviously pickings are going to be slim and you're going to run the ball a lot, but I think you can do worse than Sharon. So.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean.
Let's hope that doesn't get to that point. I mean.
Because like part of the reason why Gatewood made the move too is because Bo Allen's playing so well the last few weeks. When we watched that, you heard us talking a few weeks ago with Freddie, that Bo Allen might have looked as good as any of them that day we were out there,
mm-hmm.
aside from a couple throws that Lefis made. So
the only thing with Bo, he's just stretching the ball vertically. It's just a challenge for him. There's no real hiding from that. It just is. Anything 12 yards and in, I think he's pretty good. But when it comes to stretch the ball, or when it comes time where you got to really put something on this ball to get it there,
mm-hmm.
that's where he struggles. For Bo in college, he's going to have to be a master of the system. For him to be a good starting quarterback, he's going to have to be in a system for 3-4 years and be a maestro back there. And I think he could be on his way to doing that. Now he's not ready right now, but he could be in the future. But that's always going to be an issue for him. It's just getting the ball in certain places. He just doesn't have the arm talent as some other quarterbacks have.
The question I have for you, and I want to throw your feet to the fire. Stoops said part of the reason for the decision was I think they had a feeling that Gatewood was going to go if he wasn't the guy on the job. Okay, we had a very awkward media day interview with Joey Gatewood.
Yeah, it gets even more awkward.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
every day
and you could tell that he sent something. I mean, why else are we leaking reports out there that Gatewood's pushing?
Anybody
for
that
the
doesn't
job
know
in July?
What that is. All the quarterbacks met with the media. Nick Scalzo and Kai Sharon both talked longer than Joey Gatewood. Every question Joey Gatewood got was a 8-word sentence max answer.
Yeah, I mean it was.
It was what you know. You think you're gonna perform well this year, Joey? We'll see, and stuff like it was just.
It's
brutal. Something you see from a quarterback.
Yeah, normally there's a quarterbacks are. They think highly of themselves. Yeah. There's normally
at the day, and I talked about this. I thought it came off just as like cocky, like I'm the man. You know, I don't care what you're all saying. I'm out here, handling my business. But in hindsight, kind of looks like a guy that might have had maybe some sour grapes or something. You don't know, but it was just Get back to your point. You might have been right. Maybe he kind of knew, and I think Kentucky had to kind of get their ducks in a row. I think that's a safe assumption.
Yeah, and. They're allowing him to be able to get out without enrolling for this school year, so he'll save a year of eligibility and be able to play after sitting for 1 year. He could be good for next fall, essentially, if he finds a new home quickly. By putting your feet to the fire, like Stoops said, he believes he can be a Power 5 quarterback. Do you think he can be a Power 5 quarterback? Where could he potentially be a Power 5 quarterback?
I think Joey has to have the right system. I was always skeptical that this system was best for him. He seems like kind of a power spread quarterback where, heavy run game, something maybe similar to what Dan Mullen does. He's in year four now. In his high school career, he was very raw.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always he could grow into something. He really hasn't grown into something. There's some bad Power 5 quarterbacks out there. You could drop him in Lawrence, Kansas, or some other places, and I think he could potentially maybe start. But the best bet for him would either be work out this year and try to go to G5 or just drop down to FCS, play a couple years, and see what you can do.
I think I would like to see him at Georgia Southern. They run that kind of option stuff down there.
Yeah.
That read
but the
stuff.
Problem with Joey is, like, when we've seen him run, it hasn't been great. Like, he's not really a guy that runs behind his pads. He'll plow people over in the power game. And that's what you – for a quarterback like that, that's what you would like to see more, I guess would be the right term. And, like, now it was very small sample. We only saw him a little bit. But,
yeah.
But the Georgia game wasn't great, obviously. Now, he wasn't put in a great situation there. But some of the other games, like I just wish I would have seen a little bit more. And then there's nothing there from Auburn either.
That's kind of the Joey Gatewood story, you know.
And it's 4 years now. This is year four in college for him. 2 years at Auburn, 1 year – well, and this would have been the second year at Kentucky.
Yeah. Best of luck to him. Hope things turn out well for Joey Gatewood.
And, for him in the recruitment process, like what is he – he doesn't have much tape to show coaches. Like we heard today – Cohen and Will Levis talked about the kind of the recruiting process in the Nebraska game. Like that was a big game they watched. That was like the data point that where they pulled from. That doesn't exist for Gatewood. Like there's no real. You're not going to throw the Georgia game on and go see his 20% passing success rate. So that's just where he's averaging 3.8 yards per attempt. He got sacked umpteen times. It's just not there for him. So for him to continue down the quarterback road, it's probably, you're going to have to go down a level, I would imagine, at least, maybe two to FCS.
Mm.
But, Nick, I have to say, I took the bait preseason. When they added Rosenthal, I was like, oh, this is their left. They're going to move into left. He'll be the left tackle. Kinnard will be the right. And I was pretty firm in that. And then I took the bait. They fed me the flax. Then I went back to flax is going to make them earn it. Then I went back to spring ball, and they called him a cornerstone. And I was like, maybe it might take Rosenthal a little bit. He's new. Maybe he starts off as a swing tackle. And then week two, week three, week four, he's the starter. Well, that took him about a week to take the starting spot. And Darian Kinnard is back at right tackle. And we haven't heard Kinnard. I'll be interested to hear Kennard's comments on that because he was pretty stern at SEC Media Day about wanting to play left tackle.
Yeah. Now, when he did get
but
asked –
But they got me. They got me hook, line, and sinker.
In the spring, they did. When he got asked about, like, I'll play whatever position that they need me to, that he would give those kind of quotes.
Yeah, he said, like, for the team when he announced he was coming back.
Right. But I think some of this is, A, they don't want to just, it appeared to just, all right, Dare, you're coming in and we're just handing you a spot. But, like, let's be honest. If Darian played well at left tackle, they would still make him play right tackle in the NFL, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah,
you're,
I get
a right guard, you know, like.
Yeah, they're going to probably move him around, I would imagine.
Right, but probably not going to be a left tackle in the NFL. Dare Rosenthal, probably going to be a left tackle in the NFL. I think Wolford said they caught him running 20 miles an hour. Like, he's an athlete that can go up against
those he looks good in person.
Guys. And there was a couple comments that Eric Wolford had today, which, by the way, Eric Wolford just, I mean, this guy is true offensive line coach character.
He's a gem.
I mean, he is great to watch operate. And then afterwards, he gives you some pretty candid, honest answers that aren't like revealing in like a gotcha way, but like, you know what? That makes sense. And the way he put it, he's like, you know, pass pro is they want to make it a 5-on-5 game, and they want to put their best guy against your worst guy.
Defenses, right.
Yes. That's how you win in pass pro. And if you've got guys that are out of position and trying to learn stuff, he's like, we don't got time for that. We're starting a season now. You can't be learning on the job, or else they'll go after you. So it made the right sense for the team to do this. And I think all in all, when you look in totality, the big picture here, they got through the first scrimmage. And I think Dare even played left tackle in the first scrimmage. But after 10 days, Stoop said, all right, we know what we got. This is what we're doing. I'm not going to dilly-dally around and waste another week of practice having you play out of position, switching reps with Gatewood, Rant. Like, no, no, no. We've got ourselves a good team. Now let's work on what we need to work on in training camp so that, you know, we still aren't trying to figure stuff out once it starts. Wolford said that, you know, they have obviously been working more on pass pro because that's something they haven't done as much. You know, like, these guys know how to run block. We've got to get better at.
And they're asking them to do probably some different stuff in pass protection.
Right.
Than in the past.
But I think the big picture of some of these moves they made, they're making them a little bit earlier than normal because I think there's a very no-nonsense approach this year, which is a good sign for me, you know, looking back from 10,000 feet.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then Eli Cox has really made quite a move with this new staff.
Yeah. He's impressed him.
Because he's pretty much got that. A lot of people thought Flax would just slide to right guard, and maybe I'm taking the bait again. But they talk about Eli Cox like, you know, he's it. And then I asked Wolford about him today, and he said he brings power. And that's what you look for in the NFL, and that's what we think he can bring us. His power and move the people off the ball. And you like the move to Kennard, right tackle, Cohen said, we're not going to run it a lot going to the left. We're going to run it a lot going to the right. I don't know if that was just, you know.
I think it was a little tongue-in-cheek, but still.
But still, that the combination of those two together, I think, they think can really do some damage to some teams mm-hmm. on that side. So that's going to be something interesting to watch. And really, he's been – him and Cummings, I think, have kind of been some of the, you know, surprise risers, I would say. Like him just totally owning a starting spot. Going in the spring, I don't think any of us were thinking that.
Completely forgot about him. Not going to lie. Hand up. I forgot about him. Sorry, Eli, but I did. Because, I mean, you know, it's been, what, 2-3 years?
Yeah, he was a low three-star in the class of 2019. And, yeah, he was kind of an afterthought in that class. Yeah. And now he's trending to be one of the better players in that class.
It's crazy. Crazy how that works out, but Cox has done well to get in his role. Flax is still going to have a role. We saw them roll out a jumbo package that they did quite a bit where he was playing like a tight end role.
Yeah.
So, you're going to see him there. And also, I mean, he's going to be spelling your tackles. They also mentioned him at guard. I love, too, that Wolford's just going to play wall ball at every position.
Yeah, he said he's tried him at
center
tackle.
Guard tackle.
Center guard.
Doing well. And, man, that flow really does. Him and Dotson, when they got their helmets off, if y'all were close to the UK sideline this year, you're going to notice their flow. I mean, both of them.
Yeah, Dotson's got a good-looking waterfall going right now.
Dotson had a little cast on his arm, too. And you'd think that cast is going to take him out of play and help them.
Yeah, that jumbo package was interesting. They went 13 personnel, so two tight ends, and then they used the tackle as the third tight end. I'd be interested to see how much they use that. Sometimes they motion the Bates into full, and he played some fullback some today. That was interesting to me. I'm interested to see how they use that. And just personnel groupings in general, I think it's going to be fascinating because of the lack of receivers, how they used to kind of alleviate that with running backs, with Cummings. You know, formationally, as expected, Cummings was all over the place today, and I think that's something you'll continue to see as they utilize him this season.
I think the last piece of the puzzle that we have from practice, or do we have another piece of the puzzle from practice? We had some breaking news right around practice time that I'm sure some folks are going to be fussing over, and I'm not going to just yet because I feel a little like almost inside biz, you know, like it's a little inside baseball. Because Keontae Goodwin did an interview with On3's Chad Simmons, and a video dropped today of him saying that, you know, he's going to visit Alabama, Michigan State, and Ohio State, I want to say. Folks are going to worry about that. When you're just going to. I'm not taking this bait like it.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see how that all shakes out, but from all counts, he's pretty locked in with Kentucky, but you know, he's a big time recruit, and that's kind of what you have to deal with for those guys. So you got to play the game. If you want the players, you got to play the game.
Well, there's also a clip coming out later of him talking about how strongly committed he is to Kentucky. I've been with Keontae quite a bit, hanging out over at Aspirations Gym. He takes calls because he's a polite young kid. I don't see him like active. Like he's gonna do these. Like he's gonna go through this. I just don't see him decommitting from Kentucky. I just don't. And if I get fooled, I get fooled.
Who knows? Maybe he's going up to Ohio State to recruit Tegra.
Yeah, he could be.
You know, I mean, just joking there. But I mean, we'll see. I these kids have five of. If we had them, we would probably use them too. So. If I could go to Ohio State for the Oregon game or go to Alabama for when they – I believe they host LSU this year, you know, why not? So, I mean, we'll see how – I think Kentucky should feel fine with Goodwin right now. They've really seemed to have built a strong relationship with him. The Rosenthal adding them I think probably helped too because he had the connection there with Aspirations.
Yeah, they work out together. Folks – I get why you might be a little concerned. People are always going to be – like, I had somebody even get worried because he, quote, tweeted his friends at Michigan State visiting – like, I was like, guys, you calm down. Like, he's glowing up his friends a little bit
That's the game. Don't hate the player, hate the game. Yeah. The only other thing, beginning of practice, we saw some special teams work. Ruffalo missed three field goals in a row, 40, 42, 51, wide left, wide right, wide left. Mark Stoops told us Wilson Berry's banged up on Saturday. He wasn't out there punting today when they went a little live. It was walk-on Colin Goodfellow.
My guess would be like a groin deal.
Yeah, I would assume something like that.
Yeah.
So that's obviously
a
little concerning.
Fun thing, I was up in the middle of the night the other day. And when I say middle of the night, my son just woke up at like 5:30 a.m. And Max Duffy's old team, the Fremantle Dockers, they were playing in the big rivalry, the Derby. I forget who their rival is, but they won. So, shout out to the Dockers for getting that dub.
Good job, Dockers.
It was like the last 2 minutes. I didn't really know what was happening. That field they play on is enormous.
Yeah. Louisville actually dipped into the Australia punter game this year.
They did.
And their punter is 25 years old. Mm. Louisville's quarterback coach is like 28 years old. So they got an old man over there. Yeah, the Australians are taking over. I would be shocked if Barry's healthy, if he's not.
Right.
And then punt return, they were working Wandale, Ali, and Drennan.
Yeah.
Out catching punts. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see all three of those guys field punts eventually this season.
Drennan's got some good hair right now. He's got like half blonde, half not. It's kind of like a fro. He had a couple nice runs today. You know.
He's got some juice in the backfield. You could see. how it worked. Now, he's strictly probably kind of a third down back type.
Mm-hmm.
But he brings some juice to the position. So, I don't think we'll see a lot of him this year. But in the future, seeing could how they use him could be interesting.
Right, Luckett, we have our first Friday night of football coming up this week.
We do.
Your St. X Tigers are playing Gavin Wimsett and the Owensboro Red Devils.
Down in Owensboro, I'm
sure. Yeah, that'll be a big game for both programs. Mm-hmm. I mean, because St. X, they want to make the claim that they're the best team in the state this year. Got to go out and beat Owensboro if you
want
to.
All reports at a popular level is that they've got a pretty good team, so we'll see.
Yeah.
The Douglas scrimmage last week they were supposed to have was canceled due to the storms.
Yep.
So that was a bummer.
Right. The KSR game of the week, the Kroger KSR game of the week, Scott County and Franklin County. That's a air raid, you know. Franklin County, the Flyers, they live up to their name. They throw it around the yard. They got some good athletes out there. And then Scott County, it's just 3 yards in a cloud of dust. So, fun to see how those differing styles will end up playing out. So, Central Manual, that's a big one in the city of Louisville that's going down. I think it's Central Manual, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that's right.
Yeah, Central Manual. That'll be a big one.
At Manual Stadium.
Mm-hmm. Should have glad to have football back with us.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that high school football's – I mean, it's this week.
Yeah.
It's game week.
I mean, it really does sneak up on you, too. It really does. There was one other game that I wanted to mention that I couldn't let slip by. The one unfortunate thing is we have already gotten a few COVID cancellations. That stinks. We're going to be dealing with that all this year. Just a real bummer. Hopefully – teams don't lose too much of the season. Because I know last year it felt like once you got one, then, you know, it just – the snowball quickly got out of control. We got Apollo at Owensboro Catholic too. That fun little rivalry. Lexcath is at Ryle. So, a lot of fun games there. PRP, Plain Valley, Beller Western, and some bowl games on Saturday. We got Taylor County and Rockcastle. Bowling Green and Highlands too. Those are some big brand names. North Hardin versus South Warren. Those are the Rafferty's Bowl down at Western Kentucky.
Right.
Those always bring some good fireworks. So if you're in the area around Bowling Green, you can get you some good football.
We played Saturday. There my junior and senior year. Played Bowling Green down there. Those were fun games. Played at – I don't know if they still play it at WKU.
Yeah, they play it at WKU. So in North, I can't name any of the guys, but that South Warren kid's going to Western Kentucky, Velt Camp. So they'll have Kate a good Velt squad. Camp. Yeah, they put out some talent. So some good high school football games on the horizon. But Luckett, it's almost that time. We do have to pick up a G5 team.
Yeah, I've got notes here. Thanks for everybody that went down. And we got some suggestions here, Nick.
I got some good suggestions as well.
We got a Wyoming suggestion. They're installing North Dakota State's offense. They're in the Mountain West. They're kind of smash mouth run the ball. We could get football weather, but I looked at their schedule and we don't have any late night kickoffs.
Oh,
and the only three games haven't been announced. So I think we have to scratch Wyoming.
Okay,
off the list.
Get out of here, Cowboys. See you later.
Okay, Eastern Michigan. No one really touched on them, but obvious reasons. We have a deep love for Chris Creighton's program. They're still on the list.
Yep, I'm keeping them on the list.
So, and then the Maction games, we got a Tuesday, Friday. Tuesday, Friday. So you got three Tuesdays there in November where we could be locked in. I got a suggestion for Toledo.
Yep.
Bryant Kobach, obviously.
Yeah.
They've got the most talent at Notre Dame in the non-conference. They've got Tuesday, Wednesday, Maction. But no last game. So last game Saturday, I don't know, Toledo might – that just doesn't feel right. So I'm taking Toledo off the list.
I got a suggestion for Miami of Ohio.
I did too.
Now, I will say I've been to Miami. It's a great campus, lovely place. But I went there because I was dating a girl there. And so that turned out that was a terrible idea. Why would I try to date a girl at another college? There's plenty of girls right here on campus. So I'm biased against Miami. Mm-hmm. Throw them out.
Okay. Now, Kent State, they've got a fun offense. It's kind of the Baylor offense. They got a good quarterback, couple intriguing non-conference games, but they only have two Maction games. Last two games, Saturday. Sorry, Kent State. Yeah. Can't do it.
No,
if you're not Maxioning it up. So really in the MAC, I got two for us. I've got Eastern Michigan and then Western Michigan. They have an NFL quarterback. They've got three intriguing non-conference games. They got a game at Pitt. They could probably win a game at Michigan to start the season. Give us something to cheer for in the press box, where cheering's not allowed. And then they're matching is Wednesday, Tuesday, Tuesday, Tuesday. That's pretty good. And I, like I said, NFL quarterback Caleb Ellaby. So Western Michigan and Eastern Michigan, I think, are our two options out of the MAC. Now, another team with an NFL quarterback, Nevada, and also has an NFL receivers. They have a mummy calling plays.
Oh.
Air Raid. They've got at Cal and at Kansas State, two games they can win. And, Nick, they've got a 10:30 kickoff, a 10:30 kickoff, a 10:30 kickoff, a 10:30 kickoff, a 10 o'clock kickoff on a Friday.
Oh, wow.
A 10:30 kickoff, a 9 o'clock kickoff.
Dude, that is so many late games.
So that is right, man, in the after dark window. So, man, they are a prime time candidate.
Oh, man.
Okay? So we got the Nevada Wolfpack. And then the last two, I've got Hawaii and Fresno State. Now, Fresno State's got 5 kickoffs currently scheduled, 10 o'clock or later. I kind of like Fresno State. I think they got kind of like a cool logo. I think their helmet's cool. Yeah, they've got the checkerboard in the end zone.
Very old. Like, it reminds me of late night, like playing video games when you were a kid.
The cars, right.
Yeah, yeah. Like that. And here's the thing, though, like it. My general thoughts are that there's might be a greater chance of me paying attention to Tuesday night football.
That's what I'm thinking.
Than late night football. So I lean a little bit more MACtion in that sense, although it is really tempting to have all those late nights. It's just that I know mm-hmm. that I'm only going to stay up for them if Kentucky's playing a night game. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, the last one I have was Hawaii because there's a week zero game. And so you get that, and then obviously the late kickoffs, like they have two kickoffs after midnight right now on the dock. But that might be too late, so we need to take Hawaii off. That's just too much.
All right. Well,
we got four. So what we're going to do, we're going to throw a poll out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess the best way probably to do this would be on Twitter, you think?
Yeah,
yeah. We'll put a poll on Twitter this week, and then we'll make an announcement next week on 11 Personnel. So we've got Eastern Michigan, we've got Western Michigan, we've got Nevada, and we've got Fresno State.
We got to – man – if it wasn't so difficult to purchase hats, we'd have to put hats on the table. Because I have a feeling getting an Eastern Michigan and a Fresno State hat in Lexington, Kentucky can't be very easy.
Can't be super easy.
But either way, we will have a commitment ceremony of sorts. This is exciting. Just the thought of like getting hyped for a Nevada football game in the press box at like 11:30, like. Like, you have the big games over. Because, all right, to peel back the curtain, there's always – they have other games going on back in, like, the kind of dining room where they have tables.
Yeah.
So, you know, you'll hear people cheering for other games all the time or like, oh, my gosh, you'll never believe what's happening. This year, that's just going to be me and Lucky, like, going crazy, like, go, go. And it's Nevada up by, like, trying to cover the 28-point spread, you know.
Can we get this on FS2, Tony?
Oh, man. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Folks, we got high school football this weekend. We've got regular college football next weekend. We're close. So close, we can almost smell it. Almost smell the delicious pizza from Old Rose's. It's not as – like, I like football and all, but, man, you open that pizza box. You know what's also a good feeling, too, like it, is whenever you get a carryout – and you're the person who gets to hold the pizza box, and it's just sitting there nice and toasty on your lap on the way home. And
or spend a night at your friend's house growing up as a kid. Go over there. Oh, hey, boys, we're going to order pizza tonight. What do y'all want from La Rosa's?
Oh, man.
And that feeling, the anticipation, and then you have that pizza.
And there's so many boxes.
And they order more than they really probably should because they, you know, you're having a friend over, so y'all go.
You get an extra
ham,
box for one.
Yeah.
Just go for ham. One
so
extra
you're eating
person.
Pizza all night. Nothing's better than that.
Oh, man. Nothing's better than Little Roses. We appreciate them joining us throughout this entire preseason. We appreciate you patronizing their locations around Lexington and Northern Kentucky. Hell, anywhere. Little Roses, it's the best of the best, just like Kentucky football. We're going to have more from this open practice coming out throughout the day. Luckett's got some Little Roses leftovers for later on. But we appreciate you all for hanging out with us. Vote on the poll. We got to pick a G5 team. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, I will. This pod it's Tuesday. I'll drop that poll sometime Wednesday. So we'll have that on Twitter for a week, and we'll see what the results say.
Oh, man. Cannot wait. Thank you much for listening. This has been 11 Personnel with Nick Roush. and Adam Luckett. Remember, go Cats and go Kroger.